This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sissies, we are in a state.
Is there a new flavor of Oreos?
No.
Oh, they finally started a gay men who can knit subreddit?
No! And if they did that subreddit, I would report it for being sad.
Well, what is it then? Some new Keira Knightley movie?
Close. Sissies, we are excited for Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump.
Now on Hulu. Oh yeah, it looks delish, and the guys are really hot.
It's not only about the hot men, Maddie. This is a high-class show, and Lisa Vanderpump is taking us across the pond. Sissies, in this gorgeous new show, you can join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
With really hot French guys?
No. Well, maybe. Stop distracting me. Sissies, meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. But don't get it twisted. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests.
True. And Lisa has a staff. Mixologists, chefs, housekeepers, event coordinators, and a chateau manager.
Who's really, really hot.
I knew you'd get there. But sissies, not everybody has what it takes.
Oh no, it gets messy. So get prepared, sissies, because Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
I just wanted to share a few of... When I'm taking notes, sometimes I write my own comments about what happens. Mm-hmm. I just want to share a couple of mine when I'm writing about Danielle.
Okay.
She says, you know, it's not easy to be me. Go die in a fire. I have really bad ADHD. Fuck off. I don't have to do 95,000 jobs, and I just want to be at peace for a minute. Where do you get this entitlement? I'm so furious when I write about her.
It's so funny because we didn't talk about this. I didn't know how you were going to start the show. So when I made notes about Danielle and Rohan, let me read you some of my comments that I just had to say to her. I was like, at one point I wrote, and she was like, I'm surprised he didn't get the van. No, 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 you fucking asshole. Just fucking tell him like a person. And then later on down the road, you fucking control freak. I hate you. You make me sick to my stomach.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
I know, I write those comments to her because I will say...
And then my last one, just so you know, is just bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. That's it.
I will say hating on her has become fun at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. There is nothing redeemable about Danielle. She's not on par with like the big heads and all those people, but she is on par to me with like a Memphis.
I think she's even worse than Memphis.
Yeah, Memphis is still... Memphis was... Well, I don't know. Memphis did try to completely withhold his child from him.
I guess so.
We just didn't see that.
But the way that this woman behaves with the camera on her.
Oh, because here's the deal. People usually behave worse when they're not on camera. So you watch this and go, holy fuck.
This is some bizarro world shit. It's like she's leaning into her villain era. But the thing is, it's evident from when I saw her Instagram story when she's like, y'all are just jealous of me. I'm like, no, that's who you are. No, this is who you are.
She's a full-on narcissist, for
she's
sure.
In a world of miserable bitches.
Oh,
she's the miserablest.
Miserablest. That sounds like some it's some like really pretentious play or book that you would say.
Les Miserablists.
Miserablist by Danton Le Fin Le Feu.
The Miserablists. Yes. I'm going to talk about some pretentious off-Broadway theater in the second episode. Yo, this is Toe! This is Toe!
This is Toe.
I didn't write down this episode title.
The title is For Every Joy, There Is a Price to Be Paid.
I kind of miss the funny titles.
Yeah.
It's starting to get a little taken itself too seriously.
Mary Payne gets real. Mary Payne looks them all up and says what they're about, finds the quote.
I did it at the beginning. Yeah, and then I stopped doing it.
I don't have it in me.
I just enjoy screaming at Danielle into my notepad.
That's what I enjoy too.
Just screaming into a void at this horrible person. But as we were saying, y'all, this is Toe. Is this episode 7, I believe?
8.
Or 8. God, we are.
It's episode 8.
We are, I bet you we're more than half through this season.
So that's what I'm wondering, because I was actually texting with Mary Payne about this. I said, do you know how many episodes? And she's like, I don't. But it seems like what is left for Nicole and Mahmood?
Nothing.
Yeah. But
you know what's left? This infinity loop. This feedback loop of two people who don't understand one another, who don't have the same value system, having the same fight, pushing the same boulder up a hill till you die.
It's true. I will say, who was it? It was, I forget the Instagram account that did it, but one of them took the picture of her in that swimsuit and they put it on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I will say she has perfected the downward look of shame. And I'm going to be really careful how I talk about this.
But do we, you know what? They're the first couple. Do we need to do announcements before we get into this?
Let's do announcements before I start.
Oh, God, y'all. Poodle's come back from New York. He was flying last night. He had a meeting. And he hasn't gotten fucked yet. So he's just wee keyed up.
We did a podcast last night after my flight. So we'll talk about that in just a second.
Well, let's talk about that now. We're doing it now. Y'all, we're listening to our episode, the finale of Below Deck, which the episode was a snooze, but our podcast was a ball because
we had so much fun.
Yes, we had Hollywood Leon from Everyone is Terrible podcast, who does a lot of Bravo stuff. We had a really good time. Even already, I just saw like in the Patreon comments, people were loving it. So that makes me very happy.
He told us who we were, and he said, TLC is kind of like Big Ed, and y'all are Rose. And he's like, I love The View. And I'm like, oh, my God, we're sucking TLC's dick, and they're giving us nothing.
That's who we are. And you should listen to the episode. If you do a watch Below Deck, you should listen just for that, because
just our reaction.
It was kind of nice because Leon is he's a snarky queen like you, and he kind of read us both for filth, and it's very hard to get Poodle speechless, but he did.
Usually I have something to say, but I was absolutely devastated. Like I was kind of like floating. I'd been read so badly. I was floating. The wind had been knocked out of me.
You felt despair and also exuberation at being read.
I do love being read.
You do.
I love being destroyed.
You do. And take that any way you want, y'all. It's all true. It's all true.
So that another some more Below Deck news. Sailing Yacht is premiering April 10th. It's official. We have one more week and then the premiere of Sailing Yacht. It is official. Daisy, Gary, and Colin are all returning. And of course, Captain Glenn. And there is a rumored Daisy, Colin, Gary love triangle.
Oh, yes. We actually have 2 weeks off.
2 weeks.
But we're only going to have 1 week off from Below Deck because, y'all, we did an interview with Haley and from Below Deck this season. Literally, she came to L.A. in my apartment, and we sat down with her and John, who is
the gay
man from the pageant cruise. And they sat down where that's going to be airing next week. So
her boobies barely fit into your apartment.
Barely. At one point, she just set her ginger mule just right on them during the show and just kind of laughed at it.
She was a delight, an absolute delight. She was wonderful.
She was.
When you're hearing this, y'all, Love is Blind is out. Season 4 of Love is Blind is out.
It is.
We can actually talk about it now.
You're welcome, y'all. You're welcome.
We can actually talk about, I would say spoiler alert for those of you who haven't listened.
Cocaine Bear, when Cocaine comes in on Bear comes in on episode 3.
No, I was going to talk about it because it's already aired.
Y'all, we've been recording these early and he's wanted to talk about this so badly. It is the best season of Love is Blind.
It's been killing me. This is the most, I think it's the most kind of, it feels like the show is trying to destroy itself.
Yeah. Who's Team Micah? Come at us if you're Team Micah.
Or even more, Team Irina.
Team Micah and Irina. Where are you?
Or Irina, as they keep referring to her. Wow. Wow. Y'all. I don't want to spoil too much if you haven't watched, but
yeah, that's true. It's still the weekend. There, people time.
There is a moment. There's a moment in episode, I think it was the last one we watched, that I'm still thinking about.
Oh, episode 5.
Yeah, with Zach and Irina in bed.
Yeah. You're right. We probably shouldn't say too much because people haven't fully watched it.
Let's let them.
We'll give you some time.
I said spoiler alert.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about them. I don't know. I am sorry if your life is so busy that you can't binge through all 5 episodes because, God, it is good.
It came out on Friday, or it came out actually on
Thursday.
Late Thursday night or at midnight on Friday. So you've had all Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you like reality television, y'all, you should have gotten that time in to watch Love is Blind. We're not fucking around. There need to be priorities.
There do.
And your husband isn't one of them.
That's true. That's true.
Sorry. He knows that.
He does know that. We're remote but goat, by the way. We're both in LA, but Poodle got back. So I'm just letting him make sure.
Yeah, I don't want to give him whatever I got on the plane. I need to also, I'm not sure if it was in our Patreon comments or someone DM'd me. I need to really thank the sissy who gave me the idea because someone had decided to scour me about all of my lip balms that I have almost very little left in it, and I was trying to get it out. A sissy told me if I cut the little head off a toothpick, I could get them out. And I did. And I got 4 of them out. And they made enough for like a third of a lip balm. Thank you, sissy. No.
Wow.
That is a
hack. That's where people unsubscribe. Like, that was the new, when we were discussing lip balm hacks.
Well, you made me sound cheap because I didn't want to throw away lip balm that was almost gone.
You are cheap.
I don't want to throw it away.
Well, I'm proud for you.
I paid $3 for that lip balm.
Oh, God. You got to get ramrodded quick before our next episodes.
Thank you, sissy, for that hack.
Y'all, this is not, I had some sad news. It's the finale of MILF Manor this week, and it's going to be our last MILF Manor minute during Extreme Sisters, but don't you worry. I only watched the first 15 minutes before I screamed at the TV, and I had to turn it off just to let myself sit with it, and I'm going to go back to it. So believe you and me, Poodle's going to enjoy it.
Someone, I've been being DM'd about this, and someone said, I know you don't watch this. You may want to watch the finale. They're like, I know, take one for the team, and because I need to hear your reaction. I don't know. Maybe if you tell me, like, something to watch. I don't want to watch the whole thing. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty. There's some moments.
It's just, y'all, you know me. I like dark things. I find that show unapologetically dark. And it's just not for me.
I want you to think about what we just watched with Nicole and Mahmood.
No, it's dark in a different way. It's dark in a, that is dark in a way of human behavior, and it's orchestrated human behavior. This is strange. This is sadly real human behavior.
It is real.
Some other announcements.
I just want to remind people, you're going to see season 2 of Love is Blind on the free feed. It's not on the Patreon or Supercast again of Reality Gaze Plus, because y'all, we already put it there like a year and a half ago. So that's
so
why
don't ask us where it is.
It's on the free feed. For the, you already had access to it. So, and you can still have access to it if you want to listen to that commercial free. Seeking Brother Husband's coming out.
That's our Patreon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, that's coming out. That's Reality Gaze Plus. Remember Supercast too.
Yes.
So,
yes. I'm sorry. You're right.
Seeking Brother Husband, You, Me, and My Ex.
Yes. The cringe tier is going to be lit.
And that, as well as Classless Season 6. I think, is this the week of Cheeto Fingers?
Yes, this upcoming week is Cheeto Fingers.
Where we see Kalani just yelling at Asuelu with Cheeto Fingers, and it's the funniest thing Jake and I saw in a long time. It's great, y'all. Where were you, Wynn?
Oh, God. Also season 3 of Love in Paradise, April 14th.
Yes,
and that
so
is airing
much.
On TLC. So yeah. April is the cruelest month, as T.S. Eliot wrote.
My mistress face.
Again, I make a T.S. Eliot comment, you bring back a madrigal.
April is in my mistress face.
I assume that was in high school. For madrigal singers.
Maybe, yeah.
When everything was frozen in amber for you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then nothing else penetrated.
Is it about coming in someone's face? Because you're saying April's in my mistress's face? Is it just jizzing on her? Is it about a book? Is it about a butt cake in medieval times?
Why would
times?
April be in the mistress's face?
I don't know. All those madrigals were all about sex.
I think that's a reach. Anyway. I think that's all the announcements we have. Stay tuned for part 2. We will be doing a Pools Off-Broadway Corner. I need to do one teaser for that, though. Big news. Huge. Smash. The network show about creating a musical that really had no legs in reality. But we loved it and we watched it regardless, is finally coming to Broadway.
If Megan Hilty and or Catherine McPhee are in that musical, we're fucking going to New York and seeing it.
If Megan Hilty is not available, I am available to play the role.
And I can play Catherine.
I am, however, offer only, so I will not audition.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm to a place in my career where that's just kind of ludicrous. So contact me, producers. Contract me, Steven Spielberg. I believe you're the producer of note on that.
Yeah, Steve, I'm sure he'll just call you up. Right up.
Call my people.
What's her name is directing it?
Susan Stroman.
The one that hangs out with Anna Garten. That's how I know her.
She and I know each other. Go way back.
Way back. Stroh, is it? Sue.
I just screamed at her in Schubert Alley.
Yeah.
Stroh! Wow. I saw that choreography you did for Me and My Gal. Garbage. Remember the non-equity music, man? That was your fault.
Golly. Okay, you really do. You can't stay in New York long because you just get so pretentious.
I come back like so an awful
uppity.
New York gay.
You're so uppity when you get there. We got to get L.A. to beat you back in submission.
I need to get stupid again.
true.
Your IQ does drop 10 points when you get in LA. Although the New York gays are just as dumb. They just think they're smarter. They just think they're smarter.
That's true. They just think they do.
We're all stupid.
Or like Leon says in his podcast, everyone is terrible. All right.
That's the truth.
That's the truth.
I think we're ready to move on.
Shocker.
We're going to start
Nicole and Mahmoud.
With Nicole and Mahmoud. She's on the run, and they do one of our favorite 5 hours earlier. And
I do like it when they do these. They're like fighting. Yeah. So we see 5 hours earlier. And because at the beginning, you're like, oh, nothing's changed. They're fighting. And then we cut to she's just getting ready, finishing breakfast.
Hi, honey. Hi, honey.
Love
what
you.
What you doing?
Love you. Love you. Love
Hi,
you.
Honey.
Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. God.
But I'm saying that this is why I feel like, and I know you were saying you don't think this anymore. It feels like to me he doesn't know what to say on screen. And that could, or on camera, and it could just be he's uncomfortable.
I do agree with that. You didn't say that earlier. I do agree that he feels inhibited by the cameras.
But I do feel like she's doing the same thing. It doesn't feel sometimes, do I believe these things happened? Yes. Does it feel like we are recreating and the same image, the same emotions are coming out? Yes. The reason why I say that is everything feels extra set up. Like she'll say, hi, honey. And everything when they enter a room again, it's like, hey, what's going on? Have you heard about this? It's very hot today. So it's got that feel of it.
But I think that's their, their relationship is because they can't talk about anything of value, of seriousness.
Possibly.
So it's always just in this like shallowness until it's not. It's either this really shallow or it touches on both the core of their humanity,
right,
of who they are. And it's so fraught with that tension. But so they can't even, you know, when Mother Poodle's mad at Father Poodle, well, she'll just tell him. But They have an emotion.
Why are your shoes still on?
Why would she say that?
Because he'll go in the house and keep his shoes on. He'll just forget to take them off. Take your shoes off. Tracking dirt in my house. Y'all, you know how I feel about when people don't take their shoes off when they go in the house.
It's this, but because a lot of couples have some type of emotional, we talk about emotional currency.
Yeah.
They don't have that with one another at all.
Yeah.
So they don't trust each other to go there.
I see what you're saying. It just feels, to me, it feels very TV ready. Like, okay, here's what we're going to talk about in this thing. And it doesn't feel like, even with Chris and Jamie, I feel like we're getting a documentary idea of their relationship. And mm-hmm. with this, and you're chalking it up to them just not being very shallow with one another. And I'm saying, and I don't know if all this is being recreated. It does feel like she is extremely aware of the cameras at all times. To the point where Michelle from Bloody Day, and Michelle sent me a message that says, it's almost like Nicole is trying out for the role of Harper in Angels in America consistently.
That's funny.
And
I think she's that way. I agree with you, but I think she's that way in life, period.
Okay.
And I think because I know a couple of people like this, they're so inhibited, that are so not confident, that are so, because we've talked about, she's so not comfortable in her skin that she has to have clothes be her identity.
Yeah. I also want to say, I think she came on this show to indict him in front of the world.
I do. I can see that for sure.
As someone to show what he is doing and trying to get that to almost get people to believe her, that this was how it was. I know that sounds really, really cynical, but everything, even in good moments, she's always waiting for him to say something. And
see, you see it as that. I see it as she's I see her that she is terrified he is going to say another judgmental thing about her and deflate her confidence. So I think she is, I see a waiting, but the anxiety and like the just fear of what is he going to say next that's going to undo our relationship and make me feel bad.
I guess I'm trying to think of why do you think she went back?
I agree with you. I think that she I agree with parts of it. I think she did want people to see what was happening, but I think she probably thought too that the cameras would, I do think she has this belief that because we see her keep doing this, Mahmood doesn't change anything. Mahmood hasn't compromised at all. And Nicole keeps thinking that he's going to change. Well, he does compromise very little.
I disagree with you. I think a little bit. For him, he has compromised a hell of a lot. But that's what I'm thinking. He thinks that he's compromised so much. She thinks she's compromised the world because their values don't align.
And
that's the point. She's never going to be able to see. And this is what I can say. And this is why I want them to be shot into the ocean on a big catapult, because it's going to be on the set, just like spring letter, rick, pow. And they just like both go into a volcano. And I go, yay.
There's something wrong with me. I kind of enjoy watching them now.
I hate it. I absolutely hate watching these segments.
I think because of the delusion of people and what people will put themselves through, this is truly what people in AA talk about. What's the definition of insanity? This is it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
This is it. And so I kind of can't stop watching.
I'm trying to think. You can't count hay because that really is monotony sometimes. But it's been a while since I've actively hated. You know where it was? Jabri and Miona. I actively hated watching them. Because that I knew was fake. That's a different thing.
That was fake, yeah.
This, I feel like, is a feedback loop that they're dramatizing, and I can't get up enough emotional feelings one way or the other.
I think, too, maybe because of MILF Manor and because of other shows, I enjoy watching mental illness, and I think there's some mental illness in here.
I can't disagree with you there.
So I enjoy it. They kind of start, because they did the same pattern what always happened. Nicole said, we agreed to stop talking about our problems for now. We're going to have a better day.
And just be, and not to go about anything.
And Mahmood is like, he's like, do you want me to teach you how to pray? He said, I'm going to try to be softer. And he says, I love you like 10 times. And
almost robotically. Like that's what it is robotically. Turns out. Yeah.
Nicole is like, it will be like, he'll try to say something nice and either, I don't know what Nicole's past or him, but like, she can't ever let things be happy. I have to say, she always has to put in like a passive aggressive, well, I'm struggling right now. I think I need to learn it. You know, if you would have helped me earlier, I probably would be better at this. And it's kind of like, give him a little bit of a break. He is trying to do. So he says, I'm trying to be more love and I'm trying to be happier. So I might have said this before. I do think a lot of Mahmood's frustration comes from no matter who you're with, no matter who Nicole is with, America, Egypt, fucking Turkey, like England, wherever she finds someone to be with, you have to constantly validate her 24/7.
It is a full-time job.
And that is, I don't think anything Mahmood expected. Although, again, both of them have been married before and lived in Egypt. So, again, I don't know why they're both acting like this is all new behaviors.
That's why I keep screaming into this void of we all knew this. This was the thing which I didn't get. Are you telling me, this is why I think for the recreations, are you telling me she's never heard him pray when he prays 5 times a day? Are you telling me she doesn't know all this already, and she doesn't know the eccentricities of this and the specifics of a Muslim prayer?
I just don't think it's a, we said this before the show, but I don't think it's a recreation because of him. I don't think he's that good of an actor.
No, I totally agree with you, But I feel
that is weird that she'd never heard him pray before. I mean, that's like, y'all, I've lived with Poodle. We were roommates. We shared a wall. I've heard, that's like me saying, I've never heard Poodle get banged.
Yeah. And it was always towards Mecca.
Wow. You're going to get letters on that one.
Yeah, that's, please don't put a fatwa on me, please.
But you're right. That is, that does feel a bit of fraudacity. Like, you've never heard him pray before with his beautiful voice. This is the first time.
And it was kind of, when he was doing it, I was like, that's so lovely that you're sharing that moment. But I had a moment where I went, oh, wait. She's had to have seen this. If she's converted, she's had to know what these phrases mean.
I don't know, because she said she just converted before she really knew, before she did. Yeah. It is clear Nicole does not Google. Maybe this is a recreation, though, but I don't feel like it seems like they've actually prayed together before, because even he says, I need to teach you how to pray. Like, I need to take responsibility. Right. I haven't done that. So maybe that's what it was. But I agree with you. She should have heard him pray, but they're doing this in the moment and they're both like, this is beautiful. This reminds me how much I appreciate you. And he was like, I wish I was softer with you. But it's like, they can't even kid with each other. Cause she kids, I forgot what she kidded him about.
She's mean. Like the first thing she said, like you mentioned him being passive aggressive. She's like, oh, let's go swimming. She's like, I'm going to wear my bikini. Right. And it's the thing about it is that would be a very American thing. And he's like, no, you can't do that. It's like, why do you say things like that? Like, it's very immodest to talk like that for him. So it doesn't feel good.
So for her, like, again, that's a cult. She thinks that, I think she wasn't trying to be mean. I think she thought that was like a joke and kidding around. You can't do that with someone that you basically live in some type of fear that you're both going to destroy one another at any moment.
Exactly. Well, that's true. His rules about religion are much more high stakes than hers.
Yeah.
So it goes back to value issues. And at one point, y'all, I just said that this swimsuit, the burkini, looks like the things that people wear for green screen.
They do.
And it covers up everything. I've seen, if you've ever been to, it's owned by a Saudi billionaire now, but sometimes you will see, have you ever been to Beverly Wilshire when at the pool when people were swimming, and that was one, you'll see those sometimes? I've seen one.
I've never seen one. No.
But you'll see some Saudi women there. Mm. Very, very, very wealthy Saudi women.
Yeah, again, you fucked the wrong people and didn't pull through.
Y'all, you can stay at the Beverly Wilshire all day. You can just tell them you're a guest. You can have one night. You just spend the rest of the day there. Yep, that's a travel hack.
If you fucked someone in the Beverly Wilshire and you didn't end up marrying them, you failed.
What if they were already married? I don't know. I just figured when I went through his wallet, I saw too many pictures of a wife and children. So that's how I knew.
That'll do it. And so he says, you know, if you don't wear that, you can't swim. And I will say, this is the part that I thought was weird on his part. Either we missed something, or she said, and I think she wasn't asking this in a tone that was being confrontational. She just said, do I have to wear something under it? And this is what made me turn on him a little bit. His face, when he looked at her, it was like scary. He got so angry. Yeah. And then he just walked out. This is the gaslighting he does to her. He then walks out of the room. Yeah. And then she's this is their pattern. She chases after him. Are you okay? Are you okay? Did I say something? No, babe. No, everything's fine.
Yeah.
Building and building.
My interpretation of that moment was him saying, there was another thing about the headscarf. I just can't do this again.
But maybe he misunderstood what she said, because she wasn't talking about that. She just said, I wear something under it? And
well, because you are supposed to wear the hijab underneath it.
Yes, but she I think she was asked, but maybe she was being, maybe they've had this conversation before too. We've never seen that. And he knows what that question means, but she didn't, it seemed like a genuine question on her part.
I also thought it may have embarrassed him in a way, because that's what it felt like to me.
Possibly.
That he didn't want to talk about things like this.
Well, because, it's all about shame. That a lot of the cultural beliefs that they have are based on shame. He's swimming in a fucking shame sea. She was like, it looks like you're kind of mad. And he's like, no. But you see, though, why I think, though, where you talked about she's waiting for a moment to, like, out. This is where I see on the other side. She's just waiting for, at any moment, is he going to blow up at her? Because that's his MO, is that he pushes everything down and then it blows up.
I agree. And in a weird way, she needs that in this relationship.
Oh,
because it's normal.
That's totally normal and, for her. But that is like,
and that's what she's hoping for.
It can be two things where she is being terrible to him, but also she probably has lived with a cycle of kind of like emotional abuse or whatever that is. And
I totally agree with
what she's recreating.
Do you agree with what she said? Because I don't. She says he resents me for being American, and then starts to cry. No, that's not it. The kink is that you're American. What he resents from you is the constant trying to get him to change his values.
I think for her, though, that feels that her values feel like that American. So I agree with you. I agree with you. The kink is that she's American and blonde and all that, but he does think on both, like we've come at her and said, like, she already know. Why does she go to Egypt again? And at the same time, like, because they both never talk about anything, I think she assumed that things were going to be better. And I now realize he just probably assumed, because she already has been here once, that when she came back, she was going to be like, okay, I'm used to this now and I'll do everything you say.
Yeah.
They both are just so on two different fucking planets. Yeah.
That's why I want to vaporize both of them so I never have to see them again.
I think that's what's riveting to me about this is the stubbornness of two people to completely say that just by their desire to fuck each other, because that's what all this is about. Just by their desire to fuck is what keeps them together.
See, I think for her, I still think for her, it's about finding something that was so out from her normal raising. And that when you go for something that's 180 degrees different, that's the thing you want. And I, like you said, you want to watch it. I want to be like Thanos and look for all the Infinity Stones so I can snap my fingers and they can go away.
But you know what? In watching this with him too, I kind of think they're more of the same person than not. I think, why did he take her back? If he is so set on having an Egyptian wife.
I disagree with you there. I'll keep going.
But why did he, well then why did he take her back?
I'll tell you why. Let's continue. Because he doesn't want a failure, and divorce is already a big sin. And
I know that is a big sin, but to me, I think they both want something. Again, if he didn't want something that was not out there as well, he would have married an Egyptian woman.
True, but he wants the perfect Muslim wife. He wants all that. He does not. He would rather not have the drama. He would much rather have her say, yes, sir, and do it.
Yeah, he wants that, but he also wants someone different than anybody else has.
Yeah, I can see that. I see her as the drama seeker. In the relationship. I don't see it from him. Mm-hmm. I think he would be completely happy to say, yes, my love, and be fine. And they would talk about nothing. They would live separate lives.
Because I don't think he wants to talk about anything with any wife that he has.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't understand. Even when she, like, later on, he's like, an Egyptian woman would never speak to me like that. He doesn't want this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, y'all, they go to the pool and he's saying, you look so cute in this, blah, blah, blah. Thank you. It does always feel gross to me when he really, really tries to compliment her when she does very traditional things. Because he knows she doesn't like it.
He knows, But that's the deal. That thank you for saying that, because I think the way he says it, it seems like he's just trying to be sweet. It honestly feels like the vibe I got from him this time was like, it feels like he and it is grooming her.
And it I don't just, think he can go that far, but
it triggered me in that way watching it.
Yeah.
I don't think it is that, but in times it kind of felt like that. I don't think he has that intention because again,
no.
It's just a different perspective.
I think it could be the culture that his family is in, especially the type of how strong their beliefs are about what you should wear. Because like in parts of Cairo, you know, there are women who aren't wearing head coverings. You know, so, yeah. But his family specifically is extremely traditional.
I agree with you. I don't think it's, but I just have to, but I, regardless, I can't change that I am an American watching it. And as an American watching, I go, it's hard
and
to watch.
And it's okay, but it needs context. We always have to have context. It's the same people who say, it's so horrible. Women shouldn't be treated like that. Okay. That's your perspective. But it is also that a Muslim man thinks that is the greatest thing for a woman to be like that for his experience. So that's their experience. You have your experience. Can't put a judgment on someone else's. As long as no one's being hurt, you know, physically. Emotionally, who knows? But, you know. So anyway, then they start talking about their this is interesting. He says, you're stronger than me. You left your country, changed everything about your clothes, changed your mind about things. And I'm going to suppose you thought this was even more sinister. I think he was being honest here. I think he was saying, I couldn't do what you did.
No, I think he was being honest here when he was telling her this.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he was just trying, but I think he was being honest, but he also is just trying to be, you can see why she doesn't, I guess now that we've seen him enough, I don't trust when he's nice. And that's how Nicole feels when she's nice or when he's nice to her, she probably feels like, oh, he's being nice to me because he's going to be nice to me. When's he going to ask me to do something? When is he going to comment on something? Cause I think that's a pattern.
The thing that she says right after that, after he says, well, you're going to change your mind about things.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm saying. She doesn't, I feel like it seems like she's being like confrontational and bitchy. What I see is that I just saw her more. Don't get me wrong. I still think she's an idiot for coming back and doing this and trying to end the kink and all that. But I do see that like she is so like, well, she said, I think she said the word, I feel beat down.
Yeah.
And that's not his fault because of who he is. It's more of her, it's not her fault, but it's because she has a complete just ineptitude when it comes to the culture and refusal to accept it.
I'm going to say this, and this is probably the worst thing I can say about her. I think all of this is attention seeking. I think it is all about being the pretty blonde woman in Egypt. I think it's all about being this and not looking like anybody else and loving the attention it gives.
I 100% think that's why she doesn't want to cover her head.
I feel gross about saying that, but it feels that way to me since the first episode that she loves this kind of like extreme drama that she's getting. But that's when they talk about compromise and he says, I've moved a lot. And she's like, she disagrees. So we're at an impasse now where neither one of them can say, no, I've compromised more. And I said, it's the same fucking fight over and over again.
Which again, it goes back to she's compromised. She thinks she's compromising what she wants to wear. He feels like he's compromising on a religious value that would make him less close to God.
Yep.
She doesn't get that. That's a different type of like compromise.
How do you, and that's the thing. That is a too wide of a bridge to cross. You're never going to make it. That's why it's like, you know, just do a Barbara Eden and go dooku dooku. And send them to some dimension. It's the only way to make me happy. So there's
reality gaze, where you're going to get your Barbara Eden reference, everyone. Everyone under 30, you're going to have to Google that one. They still don't even know what that is.
So the next thing, y'all, they're playing in the water. They're kind of having a good time. She's basically telling him to take off his shirt.
No, she's telling him to leave his shirt on.
Oh, okay. Then
he said, I can't. I've got to take it off because it's cotton.
Oh, right.
I guess it can't mix or something. I don't know.
I think cotton shrinks.
So no, but it was like a religious thing. He can't do it. And you do see that.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
She said, you should leave your shirt on. And he said, no, I can't because it's cotton. We're not supposed to do that. And she said,
oh, he says that?
Yeah. Okay. And she says, oh, you're not supposed to do, and kind of like rolls her eyes. And I was like, okay, it is. And
so that's cotton can't get in water?
I don't know the rules, but he did act like it was something that he actually cannot do.
I just thought it was the rule of the pool or something like that.
Whatever rule it was, he acted as if it was like a rule of the of religion or whatever.
I want someone to weigh in on that. I don't know if
she
kind of
rolled her eyes at it and kind of made fun of it. And again, I'm like, girl, it's not personal. It feels personal, but it's
what I thought was that she was saying you should have to cover up like I did. That's what I thought it was.
No, that's what she was trying to say. And he was saying he can't because of some type of rule. He can't wear the shirt in the water.
That seems so strange. I maybe.
I'm just reporting what I saw. I'm not making anything up. I'm literally just reporting what she said.
Okay. So she said, okay, I'll have to go back. It seems so strange. So they are. Mid-fight, the cameras then catch us. So we're back where we were, where she's running through the streets.
Yes.
And she's chasing her, and she's saying, he gave me a passive-aggressive comment, and he said she snapped.
She said when the cameras are off, she was talking, she went up to him, and she said, are you okay? And he said, like you care anyway. And I can understand how he feels that way. I think she feels... It's interesting how they both feel in a way very similar, how they both feel like the other person doesn't care about them.
What would have made a seemingly nice moment? So my question is, why were the cameras not rolling this whole afternoon? And what could have precipitated that for him to change on a dime?
Who knows? We didn't see it. It's like, well, we get pissed about when they show us something that we never see.
Then I don't feel like it's even worth talking about, to be honest.
We have to because it becomes this big thing. So maybe they'll bring it up more in the tell-all.
Yeah.
I can see him not going.
I find filming the after effects of something we don't know the impetus.
I know. We hate it.
To be ridiculous. And... So, because otherwise, how do we know it actually happened? And it's not actors cast who's playing into this.
I know.
That's all. Anyway, he basically says, if you don't come to the Uber after 5 minutes, I'm going to divorce you. And this to me, for him, was all about being perceived in public as a man whose wife doesn't obey him. And he was horrified.
He was horrified. And at the same time, I don't feel sorry for him, though. Because
I don't either.
He's already been with her once. And when he said, an Egyptian wife would never do this to me. And I was like, she's not Egyptian, you fucking idiot. You did marry an American. So, I know you don't like that. But, this isn't, you're not, you have an American wife. Yes, she's telling you, and she clearly doesn't understand shit. But...
I don't feel sorry for either of them.
No.
It makes me really angry when this happens because I can't speak to what happened. I can't speak to, anyway.
They kind of both like have a different tone of voice where he's like, you know, do you want a divorce? And she said, I don't want to be anywhere near you. And she said, don't control me. And that's what he says. Very pointedly. He's like, I'll wait 5 minutes. And then if you're not there, we're getting divorced. And she was like, I don't give a fuck. And so it kind of finally seemed like both of them were just all gloves are off and both just talking to each other like they're pieces of shit.
I don't know how you come back from communication like this.
Yeah.
I don't know why I can't see it. I can't see even with someone you had problems with, like especially in front of a camera when you know you're going to see it later.
It's weird when she says she's trying to make him a monster, saying he tells me what to do and I let him. And I want to say, okay, but again, I'll just go back. I just don't. Did you take a cultural class? Like, did you take like?
No. It doesn't matter. She's a perfect actress. This is all acting in her life.
Well, I think she's all life is always a play for her.
And I would say again, I really do believe she came back to indict his behavior in front of the world. And it was a dedicated move for that. I don't think she wants to be with him. Yeah, I think. And that is cynical, and I'm aware.
I think she did. I think you're right about that, but I think she meant to like, I think she thought more being on this show will change him.
Yeah.
I can see
that in her brain working, but I don't see how.
It's like when we did a live show, I thought, oh, this is good. I'm going to have Jake do a live show and then he won't show his nuts or his nipple to the audience like he does on the Intimate Portrait. I was wrong.
Yeah. I told you I was a snake. It's
like
the snake faring across the turtle across the way. You knew I was a snake.
I thought he would behave differently and he did not.
And then I bite ya. And then you see my nipple.
Bleh.
We should take a break and then we'll move on to Chris and Jamie.
I should get some Pepto-Bismol.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me.
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
I don't know about y'all. I can't get enough of this Gwyneth Paltrow suit, lawsuit talk and her in that sweater and glasses. Tell me you've heard of it. You probably haven't.
No, the ski accident thing. Yeah, I did see that.
A friend of mine just sent me a Jenny Johnson high five, who's fantastic on Instagram. It said, Gwyneth Paltrow looks like she's on trial in 1987 for hiring a hitman to kill her husband.
Good for her.
What are you saying?
No, go. If you're going to go to court, go in with a like a dated style. Good for her. I don't like Gwyneth Paltrow, but I don't dislike her.
I was going to say, good for her, and Gwyneth Paltrow does not belong on this show. So you need to take that out of your mouth.
You brought her up.
But I'm saying you can't say anything positive. That's not allowed on this show.
It does seem like the guy's trying to take her money. It seems like he's...
Listen.
I think he was up here.
What? You're reading something different than the rest of the world is reading. Are you reading the Babylon Bee?
No, I read it like there's an article like on NBC or the Apple News or whatever.
But... the thing is, the fact that she's in court and she would not settle, she's got plenty of money with Goop. That's what's ridiculous.
Oh, plenty. Do you think she did? I have to believe that if she didn't settle, then it wasn't her fault. Because if she knew it was somewhat her fault, wouldn't she settle?
Absolutely not. Not for some people. Even if it was her fault. Even if it wasn't her fault, she could settle.
It's weird too that he originally wanted like $1 million or $2 million, and now he just wants like.
Do I think the guy? Do I think the guy is probably fudging something? But there was a thing where the camera came up, and they're like, and she was just like trying to cover her face. Oh, y'all!
Oh, Lord!
This. But I was going to say,
you're fine, Gwyneth. Go make your moon water and do a ritual. You're fine.
The fact that. She wouldn't settle. To me, means it's more important for her to be right. And I think she just wants her trial. I think she wants to, and her kids are going to have to testify. It's like, it's ridiculous at this point. We all know I'm no fan.
So you're telling me if you become somewhat famous and someone does something to you, that they are going on record in a public arena saying you did something and you didn't actually, and you believe in your heart that you didn't do or could do anything wrong at all, you wouldn't take them to trial?
No, I would totally take them to trial. And I would probably dress better than she did. But
well, that's true. But I was going to say, because the mother poodle and you and the Mar and me, I would, if I didn't think I did it, I'd fight that shit. But I wouldn't act like, oh, woe is me. This is so daunting. Come on. It's a week-long trial. Oprah fucking moved her show to Amarillo.
Also, the fact, though, I think I'm looking at this as a practical matter. Just fucking settle.
You have so much money with fucking Goop and the money that you've made as an actor. It's like, did the man probably have problems? He's got medical records. And the fact that they left right after, did you hear that? The guy was like laying there.
Yeah.
And
I did.
So
read that.
I guess I'm wondering, why was she fine if she was the one, if she, like she said, he ran into her, why was she fine? Uh-huh. Instead of her, because I was curious. I read about four different accounts, and it started to get
know enough about skiing.
And it started to get specious as soon as she was saying, "No, he ran into me." Anyway, I'm not here to say who's right. I'm just here to say that Gwyneth Paltrow is horrible, and nothing good can set a beam out of her on this podcast ever. That is one of the rules of Reality Gaze, and it shall never be violated.
I mean, I like her duet with Huey Lewis.
No.
I like that song.
No.
I enjoyed Country Strong.
She's an insufferable person, and she'll be treated as such forever.
You would like that movie. She dies at the end.
That does sound great. That was the best part of Seven. When her head was in a box. Spoiler alert.
There you go. Spoiler alert.
I don't think Gwyneth listens. Chris and Jamie.
I don't think so. I want some Brunello.
Brunello.
That look good.
Like, there are little. You can find some in Los Angeles.
I want someone to bring it to me when I'm in bed.
Hey, my little sick.
I don't want to go look for it.
I want to be called, hey, my little sick.
I don't want to know why.
Well, it's a translation, but I just enjoyed. We would say, hey, my little sick one or sickly. Or something like that, but she just...
This is some role play for you, and I don't want to entertain this right now. I feel weird. She's feeling better, thankfully. She was like, yesterday you saw me at my worst.
Yeah, I doubt that's been your worst, Chris.
And apparently they're going to try to do court without her.
Thank
for the
God.
Moment.
I think that was some misdirection on their story. Could it be? That this is all going to be okay? No.
I know. I think Chris is a self. Again, I think Chris is the one that's going to self-sabotage it. But in the next breath, she says, and nothing is going to stop us from going glamping. And I went, what? That was a switch.
So she's, and I forget, she's only been there 5 days.
It's my fifth day here. And I went, what? It feels like 3 weeks.
And it's also the anniversary of their first either online date. And at one point, y'all, she's wearing a neck brace because it's good for her. And all of a sudden, it looks like small claims court.
Well, you're thinking of that because of that episode of the Brady Bunch.
It happens.
Where the guy goes
in
for thing. Yeah.
Every, and I will say, I will never not laugh at a neck brace. It is instant comedy. I put one in the show that I'm writing now.
It looks, I mean, people need it, but it looks ridiculous. They look really uncomfortable to me.
It does. I just, anytime someone's in a neck brace, I have it's probably unfeeling in me, but it looks really funny and I want to laugh.
I just feel like it has to be hot all the time.
It would be very
hot.
It's
like wearing a scarf.
They go glamping, y'all, and this is gorgeous. And Chris has put balloons and rose petals everywhere, which I did not like. I'm glad Mr. Rose Petal is making money off of it. One of the big sponsors of 90 Day Fiancé.
Mr. Rose.
She's going to propose to Jamie. And I always love the Spanish version of this because they're like, you propose me, which would be the way. And it's a lot of people who speak different languages, and when they translate to English, like, she proposed me. And it's just that is in especially Latinate language, that is how that verb works. And we go, what? It always sounds strange to us. You just stare at me.
I'm just letting you
finish. I think that's interesting. Isn't it great to be gaslit daily on your podcast?
Oh, please. I'll say something really important that I think, Jake's going to respond. And you'll go, yeah. Because you're thinking about your grocery list. Don't even play.
Poppers, bagels.
Poppers. More poppers.
So
douche.
We're basically, she's going to propose to her for real this time because it was over the phone last time.
Yeah.
And she's nervous.
The ring is pretty.
And she's nervous. She won't say yes. I'm like, she's going to say yes. It's fine.
Because with all of her stuff, this is one of the better proposals on 90 Day Fiancé, I have to say. The place is pretty. Yep. Yes, she has rose petals, but it's a pretty ring. And Jamie walks in, and she like gets down on one knee. But she didn't really say anything romantic. She just got down on the knee and said, "Will you marry me?"
It kind of looks like she didn't say, "Will you?" It just said, "Marry me." And it kind of looked in a different light. It looked like, "Murder me." Not that hard, honey. You got a lot of health problems already.
It's true.
Murder me?
Be very easy for Chris to have an accident.
I know. Boy, it's a perfect kind of situation for me. You go glamping and like, I know there are mountains and like sometimes her balance isn't all it should be. Just take a tumble down a hill. Just make sure your life insurance is all up to date.
Rip that neck brace off and give a push. Now, here's the deal that I wanted to bring up. We both originally, I don't know if you remember, because it feels like it's only been 8 episodes, but it feels like, in a good way, it feels like 3 months ago because so much has happened. We said we felt like Jamie was probably taking Chris for a ride.
We did. I completely think we were wrong.
I think we were wrong because I see her reaction to this and I go, oh, she loves her, I think.
Well, it was the direction they set Jamie up into that Chris was paying for everything. And I think she loves Chris. I think this is a real love connection. Too. Yep.
I think Chris loves her. I just don't think Chris loves herself.
Boy, that's the truth. Y'all, basically the next thing is,
oh, I'm sorry. This is a puppy. You train your dog. Can't stand it when dogs beg when you're eating food. I can't stand it. You train your dog. You bring the dog bed. You train that damn puppy to go sit in their bed instead of bugging you. Practically, this dog stole the scene the entire time.
I will say the crew should have removed the dog from the shot because
I think they did. Did you hear the dog barking? It was barking at some points because it was trying to get some food.
I think
there's no dog training to this dog.
Maybe getting an apartment, a dog, and a girlfriend at the same time, or a fiance at the same time, may not be the best thing for these two women.
I will not own a dog that begs for food. I will not. What does Muffin do when Mother and Father Poodle eat?
She's under the table. But she's a member of the family. However, she does not get food. Sometimes my father sneaks it and my mother yells at him. What she does get is my father sometimes will eat cornbread after dinner as like a dessert. And sometimes we'll put milk in it. And then it's a very Southern thing to eat cornbread and milk. Not buttermilk. He's grossed out by that. But that was what a lot of Southern people did, cornbread and buttermilk. So sometimes Muffin gets the last bit. So she sticks her head in the glass and she uses her tongue to get the rest of it out. And then my mother has to clean off Muffin's mouth. And then I go, well, I've been replaced. No one ever cleaned my mouth.
Yeah, I don't know why. Some people do. My mom does that. She would like put her plate down and let the dog finish her food. And I'm like, just get up and scrape it in their bowl. I don't want a dog.
I do believe that people food is for people and pet food is for pet food.
I do that too, but I just don't want to.
I know a lot of people don't.
Because like a dog. Yeah, I mean, a dog
I'm also not
licks
a dog
their
owner.
Asshole.
Yeah. I'm also not a dog owner.
Wait, we lick assholes.
Yeah.
So, well, I just disproved my point.
And I don't even know their names sometimes. At least the dog knows its name.
It's true. Wait, we're sluttier than a dog?
Yes. So they're eating all kinds of meat, y'all. And of course, Chris is a really picky eater. I think I could have called that. And
yeah.
Jamie's family, we do find out that Chris's daughter is probably going to come to the wedding. Jamie's family isn't coming because her mother doesn't know she's a lesbian. And I was glad that Chris did not say, not try to get her to come out to her mother to marry her, because she's like, I can't falter.
She said, Jamie knows best.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good. Because Star, her daughter, is going to come for the wedding. And it really is that, y'all, I hope everybody comes out, because I do think you can live a less stressful life in most instances. However,
it's not for everybody.
If you have asshole parents
that
don't contribute, they don't need to know about your life. If it's just going to, like, it's free. It doesn't have to be like, it's different for everyone.
If you know it's not for everybody, and it's not for, if you don't think it'll help you, if you don't think it's going to make you feel better, and like what Jamie said is, we don't really talk. We don't really get along. And she's like, I know my mother. She's like, she says bad things about gay people. And Chris said, well, I'd be devastated if my daughter kept that from me. But she said, you know, I trust, as you said before, I trust Jamie, and she has to do it. She's like, maybe a few months, but for years. And, you know, and she's like, Jamie's going to know when it's right. And this was kind of the most kind of nicest, like, maybe non-fraught thing that's happened for them. So good for them.
Would you eat blood sausage?
No, I'm not into. Not a fan. Not a fan.
You'd eat ass, but not blood sausage.
Yeah. I'm really particular about sausage in general. Mixed meats. Meat with seams. I have to kind of know what's in it. I'll suck every kind of dick. That's the weird thing.
That's the weird thing. Any kind of dick. That's what I won. I just really, that's what I won state speech with, as I in prose was, I did a reading about blood sausage, and that's what I won.
Again, your memory in Amber for high school.
Yes. Anyway.
I'm sure it was riveting.
There's not that much. Let's quickly talk about Danielle and Johan.
This miserable bitch.
Y'all, she's moving back out. Remember, she's moving out to move out of U.S. completely. He still thinks they're going to move back there. Just remember that.
He still thinks they're going to New York.
She's having her whole girl power moment. I'm leaving. She's like Britney Spears and fucking Crossroads, just going to some new place. And he thinks they're still going to move back there.
And he doesn't still get it with 10 suitcases. And she's like, why doesn't he understand? I'm coming here. I'm like, he says like, because he thought you were bringing another 3 suitcases. He didn't bring your whole life. He still thinks they're going le otra vez. She's like, it's, he thinks that she's going le otra vez.
Yes.
Probably la otra vez.
Yeah.
Spanish isn't good.
So yeah, we already talked about that. But yeah, she's shaming him for, and then here's the deal. Here's why, what really makes me, almost more than anything, why I can't stand Danielle.
Oh, let me count the ways.
Do not you say you're a feminist when it's convenient for you.
Oh, yeah. She had a real problem with finding out every single reproductive habit of the women he'd been with.
Yes. Johan has, he said, I have the penis, so I'm the man. She's like, yeah, the penis is a tool, not a logical one. And I went, so do you just hate men in general?
Yes.
Because I kind of would believe that. I think she does. Yeah. But yet you are fine with putting your man with his fucking 9-inch glorious dick on fucking OnlyFans or Unfiltered or whatever it's called, and making money off him.
Oh, it is the entitlement drips from her.
Hypocrisy. She's a huge hypocrite.
It's incredible. I love talking. It's the difference of Mahmoud and Nicole. I love talking about this asshole because it just never runs out.
I only like talking about her because her husband's hot. But honestly, other than that, she is the person that if I could choose to skip over, I would.
Interesting.
Skip.
I would. I can't wait to talk about her. Because I love reading her. So, y'all, she says is a very noble thing. Teaching's my life. It's my passion. But I've decided to move towards love. It was really hard for me to give up. We've been sent some stuff by some people on Instagram, or some sissies have DM'd. She's like, I know Danielle through other people. Everyone hates her as a teacher.
Yeah.
She's not... a miserable person in life. She's awful. No one likes her.
Her school is happy she's leaving.
Yeah.
Very happy.
Teaching is my passion.
No, it's not.
No.
If it was... No. Yeah. No,
you're
no,
a terrible
no.
person. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So she, and she keeps saying, y'all, just so you hear it 1,000 times, I'm just making so many sacrifices. I just don't know if I'm doing all this in the shape for love. I'm doing all, how can you fault me? Ugh. It's not easy to be me.
Get off the cross. We need the wood.
Ugh. Fall down the stairs.
Wow.
That's most of what the things that I say is just response. Y'all, we see Johan. She is finally moving here today. He couldn't be more neutral.
He brings her a rose. He picks her up. She's already... She's micromanaging him because I will say she woman-splains to him constantly.
That, you know, and I would normally have a problem with the phrase woman-splain, but
I do too.
Danielle,
but in this case, yeah, that's what she does.
Danielle knows exactly how to do it.
She would probably say mansplain because she says she's the husband.
That's true.
Remember, she said, I'm the husband and the wife.
And you're the wife.
I wear the pants in this family. But she's. She's basically shaming him for not reading her mind, not knowing any better. So
he should have brought a bigger car.
And I need to drive the car. So she just wants to drive the car because is she probably a better driver than him? Sure. She's driven longer. But she just wants to drive the car because she wants to put him in his place because she's pissed at him for not reading her mind and bringing the van.
It's not even that. She needs to emasculate him and subvert gender roles so she's happy, not that he's happy. She needs to enact this fantasy of having this man at her beck and call, and whatever the culture dictates, she's going to say, fuck you, so everyone in the neighborhood can talk about what a brouhaha she is, that she's got this guy, and they're like, she's got this guy by his balls, and we think that's awful, and they go, oh, this crazy woman, what can she do? Awful.
I think a lot of the reason why she does pimp him out on Unfiltered or whatever it is because she feels like she's taking some type of like power back from
that's
women.
That's exactly
women
it.
Have been sexualized. She probably has some moral excuse of why she's a good person for doing it.
And she says, he says, I'm the one with the penis. I'm the man. And
that's what bothers me about her is that she tries to latch on to a lot of things I believe in and I root for.
Yeah. Oh,
and she thinks that if I say these little memes or just say these little platitudes, people will just fall in line and believe me.
I dare you to look at some of her posts on Instagram or look at some of her stories because
a lot of things
I agree with her on. But it is the way it's being used to kind of like
it's not authentic.
It's absolutely not authentic.
It's not through a lived experience at all. It's just through what she wants you to y'all. If you had that Dolly Parton trifecta on her, who she thinks she presents to the world is way different than who she really is, and who we see her as is even more different.
Yeah, who she thinks she is way over here. And she says, well, if Johan hasn't figured out that patriarchy isn't going to work with me, he's been missing a lot.
Okay.
I think she really does see herself as a feminist warrior here.
Oh.
It is hysterical that most of the internet hates her.
It's perfect that she wants, her goal is to lead women retreats.
Oh, she already is. And at one
no, that's what she wants to do.
At one point, she says, with me, it's possible to fight all day. And I went, I think we know. I don't think there's anyone who's unaware of that.
No.
Oh, give me more. Give me more, as Britney Spears says. Give me more of this horrible, horrible woman. Her looking like an asshole on television gives me strength.
It is nice to see how. I'm excited for the tell-all with her.
Me too.
I think people are going to fucking come for her.
I think people are going to slash her fucking throat.
Because she didn't have to, because Love in Paradise, y'all, they don't have a tell-all. So, which is a misstep.
I totally agree.
I hope they have one in this one.
I think it's because that show, doesn't have the same sense of place as 90 Day does. Like they come to the U.S. and the other way has like they go out far up, but they're that show feels like everyone's come from a disparate place to go to the Caribbean. So you'd almost have to have a tell-all in the Caribbean, if that makes sense.
I think though, but they can fly them back. I think they will, because they're airing it on TLC this time. I think they will have a tell-all.
Good point.
I'm predicting that.
Yeah.
We can hope. Y'all,
that's the show.
Sorry, this was a long one, but again, it's toe. It's a really good, it's just good fodder for conversation.
Mahmood and Nicole.
Well, it happens. All right, everybody, you can go to realitygaze.com. You know the drill. Check out our producer, Meme Queen Christina, and Caitlin, what they've got going on our social media, on our Instagram, and on our TikTok, and our Twitter. And Poodle, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all, aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yes. And if you get upstaged by your white dog doing a whole fucking dance... call us.
Poodle, I need to talk to you about something that happened at our New York live show.
The lying designer said it was his first time and that his wife didn't care.
No, Poodle. It's just that people are talking about your outfit from the show.
Oh, yes. My corset that I bought online that was specially made for my body. It accentuated my creamy shoulders and gave me a waist cinched for the gods.
Well, also, I don't know how to say this, but some sissies said their male husbands noticed your...
caboose? Men flocked to my posterior. It makes sense.
No, the other side. They noticed your junk.
Oh, my.
And apparently there was some jealousy. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But some men said you looked very junk forward, and some male sissies in the audience were a little jealous.
Well, they should be. I bring the heat. Well, if I'm honest, Maddie, I've got a little secret.
Oh, I know you banged the guy that organizes your building's trash bins.
How dare you mention Orlando? I can neither confirm nor deny. No, Maddie, I mean, those male sissies don't need to be jealous at all. Well, maybe a little jealous. But they, too, can be junk forward like me. My secret is that I wear the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
The contoured pouch and ball caddy?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy. Not only is MeUndies underwear comfortable and breathable, but it also makes my junk look huge.
MeUndies, who knew?
Yes, and MeUndies has looks for all types of people. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small through 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
Oh, and I do know that MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Their lounge collection is incredible, featuring joggers, hoodies, and onesies, and more. And it is unmatched comfort because MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
Well, not only are they cozy, but MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on MeUndies.
Well, Poods, now that I'm living the single life like Nuttily, I need to advertise. I'm getting some MeUndies.
I don't want to hear about your sex life on the podcast. Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.